best of the worst. It's Trainwreck Tuesday with Mad Radio on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Let's start with Dick Stockton's intro to Broncos-Rams from Sunday on Fox.
Weather conditions as the undefeated Rams take on the Denver Nuggets.
There you go.
That's
Dick
hard.
Stockton.
Syracuse, represent.
As we know, I always have to give the disclaimer. That is a mistake that I would definitely make at least once a broadcast.
I don't
something
think
like
would.
That. I'm still having a hard time with the Chargers. How many times I've called them San? I still call it. I'll call them the St. Louis Rams.
At least you're not going to call them the Clippers, though.
I might. When I see LAC in the box score, my first thought,
that is
as
weird.
It should be, is LA Clippers.
That is a weird one.
I don't want to criticize an announcer for his appearance, but Dick Stockton, who is 75 years old, looks a lot older than 75 years old.
Yes, he does.
Oh, really?
Yes, he does. I don't know if Dick should still be doing
How
games.
How old is he? Wait, he's 75? No, yes. He looks 75.
He's been calling games since 1965. I think he looks like he's in his late 80s.
Well, are you looking at a bald picture of him? Like a completely bald picture where he has his hair cut short?
I'm not going to lie. He kind of scares me.
He's probably a smoker, that's all. A lot of the smokers, their skin gets kind of sallow as they get older. It doesn't look good.
The bags under his eyes frighten me. Brock Osweiler, another frightening human being. He played on Sunday, if you missed that, and he threw a couple touchdowns. Dolphins won in overtime against a very good defense. And a reporter asked him who he was aiming at.
He threw an interception on one play, and it ricocheted, he threw a touchdown, and it should have been intercepted. It ricocheted around, and who knows how the hell it was caught.
Are you aiming at it ends up being successful at the end, or is it just sort of one of those things?
Yeah, you know, that's when you know the football gods are on your side, when things like that happen. And that's okay, we'll take it. You know, we needed something like that. You know, it was one of those deals. It was third down. I was able to get outside the pocket, and the guy who was covering Danny in man-to-man, he had his back to me. So I was trying to get the ball to Danny because I knew that guy couldn't see the ball coming. And I'm not exactly sure what happened. I don't know whether it was a hand that it hit or a back or whatever it was. But, you know, kudos to Kenny for staying with the play, staying in tune with what's going on. And he made a huge play for this football team.
I think that was the play in overtime because I was watching at that point. It was kind of a crazy ricochet. It turned out to be a somewhat significant play, even though the overtime session was weird.
Was there anything, what was notable about that for being train wrecked?
I thought him talking about the football gods and the fact that football gods involved with him. Honestly, you could hear him talk. It's train wreck for me. I don't want to hear him ever talk. I want to zip his lips permanently shut forever.
The thing about Brock is this, and this would be a bipartisan take here, because I think even Democrats would agree that Al Gore, Al Gore used to be a really bad public speaker, and then he went through a transition where he got good. And, like, I know obviously some people like him, some people don't like him.
He became himself.
He became a much better public speaker. Yeah, like, Brock Osweiler always reminds me of early Al Gore, like, where it's just everything is so wooden and scripted, and,
yes.
like he's reading off a script that says, laugh here, smile here, make eye contact.
Yes.
That's how I feel with Brock Osweiler.
I like that analogy. Here's more from Brock raving about playing for Adam Gase.
You signed him?
Because I want to play football for Coach Gase. And that's it. Plain and simple. There was a couple other offers out there.
No.
As soon as Coach Gase called my agent, said they were interested, wanted me to take a trip, I told my agent to cancel all the other trips. I want to go to Miami and get a deal done.
Said that when he signed with the Broncos.
I want to play for Coach Gase. I believe in him. I believe in his system. I believe in him as a person and as a coach. And to be here, to be playing football for him is beyond special. In fact, I got a little emotional driving to the stadium this morning. Just thinking about this opportunity today, to be out there with him calling plays and playing football. So it was a lot of fun.
I actually believe him when he says that about Gase, because he has that relationship with Gase from back at their time in Denver.
Yes.
And like a lot of his fondest memories are from his time in Denver. It's imprinted in his brain like a baby duckling. He'll follow that Adam Gase mama goose to wherever he goes. And I heard this on Barstool. On the
Pardon My Take podcast.
Pardon My Take. What was the stat that every game that he's started with a new team, he's beaten the Chicago Bears, which is freakish, as these guys pointed out, is because he's played for AFC teams. So it's
Broncos,
like he's
Texans, Dolphins.
In his first game, he's beaten the Chicago Bears. And it's even stranger this year because the Bears have a really good defense.
Yes.
Before, I'd be like, all right, well, it's the Bears. What are you going to do?
That's one of those, like, Kennedy-Lincoln weird things.
Well, you know what it is Brock would tell you, the football gods.
Football gods.
Yeah.
It's also further proof that Ryan Tannehill is doo-doo.
Well, speaking of Ryan Tannehill, as Trainwreck Tuesday rolls on, Adam Gase was not happy after the game with the continual questions about Ryan Tannehill.
So there was a report that the Tannehill injury is a sprained AC joint. You were told that's not it. What is it?
I don't know. I think there's some kind of like HIPAA law or something like that. They can't talk about. I don't know. I don't sit there and ask him all these questions. And I just know the guy couldn't go today. All right, go ask him. I'm tired of answering this question about this guy. I got it, but you know what? I'm over it. Me and him, we know that he's not right now. Okay. The details of it, we'll keep that to us. You guys don't need to know that.
Brock.
He sounds pretty frustrated with Tannehill.
Referring to him about as this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to answer questions about this guy. I don't want to overly read into verbiage like that, but that's not something you do with a quarterback that you really love. You don't call him this guy.
Especially if he's injured.
Yeah. Yes. Adam Gase is at a spot now where he's put his life on hold for 3 seasons to wait for Ryan Tannehill to get healthy. You know, like in Ryan Tannehill especially, I still wonder exactly what happened when he decided that 1 year to not get surgery when he could have gotten surgery.
Yep.
And it ended up costing him an entire season. Like, what are you, scared of the knife? Welcome to the NFL, my friend. If there's I grew to salivate at the sight of a scalpel because it meant that I was going to get better and I'd be there for my team. Learn to love the scalpel, Ryan Tannehill. Don't be scared. You're from Texas, damn it.
This next clip, I made sure to provide the context, the questions and the answers. Because once I saw Nathan Peterman invoking religion after his performance on Sunday at NRG Stadium, I wanted to get the full back and forth. Here's Peterman at NRG on Sunday.
How do you remain positive when, you know, these things keep snowballing every time you get out there?
Yeah, I don't know. Mainly, just know where my identity is, you know. I love this game. You know, I put everything I have into this game and prepare as hard as I can every week, you know. But at the end of the day, I know, you know, where my true identity lies in Christ and, you know, I'm thankful to be here and just trying to get better every day.
Do you worry about how many chances you're going to get when these things keep happening?
I just take it day by day, honestly. And that's always been my mentality, is one step at a time, you know, one play at a time, and just got to learn from things and see what happens.
What do you mean by your true identity?
You know, being a child of God, basically. You know, I not finding my identity in football. I'm just trying to find it and, you know, who I really am. And, you know, I love this game, and I put everything I have into this game, but can't let it define me either.
Counterpoint. What if God wants you to be a better football player and you're letting him down? I think this is one of the more annoying things in sports, and I think no matter where you are on the religious spectrum, as a sports fan, the last thing you want to hear after a game like that, which, because really what he's saying is a pretty selfish thing. Like, hey, listen, I know you guys are all upset and the team's upset that I was awful in that football game, but don't worry, I'm right with God. And, like, that's what's real. Listen, I know you all pay a lot of money to be a fan of the sport and everything, but the important thing is that I've got a relationship with God, and that's what matters more than any of all of this.
How right is he if he didn't go to church?
On Sunday, yeah, what are you? You're working on the Sabbath.
What the hell?
You're a bunch of hypocrites.
That would have been an epic follow. Oh, my God.
Why didn't you go to church?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he did that morning. Now, he did go to, you know.
I guess I'll
They do have Mass on Sunday morning.
My defense of him, because when I first saw
that. How does it work when you're on the road, by the way? Sorry.
We have team chaplains.
Oh, okay.
You've got a Protestant. You've got a Catholic priest. And we never had, like, one year, I had an interesting conversation with Kubiak 1 year because, like, I'm like, listen, we got Sage, who's Jewish. We've got
Ephraim,
who's Muslim. And, like, can we some of the pretending that every single dude on this team is a Christian and, like, lively? Anyway.
Good point.
Yeah, that's you have the Mass and you do the. Yeah.
I'll defend Peterman by saying, because when I first saw that quote, I'm like, oh my goodness. But then when you hear the first question, it was like, okay, when everything. Basically, the first question was, whenever you step on an NFL field, horrible things happen. Like, how do you react to that? So in that sense, I can see what he's saying.
I'll give him credit, too, for still believing in
everything
after all his struggles. My God, he's terrible.
He's out there like Job.
He's awful.
He's like, I wonder if he did that. I want to see somebody go Job in the press conference afterwards, like up at the podium, be like, yeah, I just... Sometimes they just, you're like, God, what the hell? You've let me down. Like Hugh Jackson last year, if after the 16th loss, he just blamed God.
We got one more. Trainwreck Tuesday rolls on. Taylor Lewan was not happy 2 weeks ago that Tennessee, that the Titans were getting no national love. They have since lost two in a row. His offensive line gave up 11 sacks to Baltimore on Sunday. And so Lewan was asked about it after the game.
Yeah, a little foot in my mouth, huh, Paul? It's tough to say. I think we're a good football team. We just got to do a better job on offense. And that starts with the O line. It starts with me. And so I think we just need to do a better job.
You know, he was accountable.
I'm going to say this about Taylor Lewan. He wasn't the issue in that game. For one, some of the awful offensive linemen other than him were. Other than that, it's Marcus Mariota and his ability to handle the blitz. He's clueless. I know he's a nice guy, but a nice guy doesn't get the blitz picked up or the hot route hit.
He got sacked more times than he had completions. That bum.
Yeah, so, but I'll say this about Taylor Lewan versus some of the play I see out of the Texans' offensive line. When Taylor Lewan gets beat on a play, you know what he does? He keeps playing. He keeps going and trying to get the guy that just beat him. And actually, on the last sack of the game versus this blitz, he did an incredible job of. He got beat, lost track of his guy, like pulled a pirouette, came back, and ended up blocking the guy on the play. If I see another Texans offensive lineman just quit after he gets beat and lay on the turf motionless like he's got a spinal injury or something, I am going to break things in the press box. I am going to smash things apart because, I don't get it, man. Like, it's not enough. It's not okay that if you're bad to double down by just quitting on the play, too. And I'm not going to call anybody individually out right now because at this point, I feel like they've got a problem with their core constitution, and yet they remain on this team because apparently Bill O'Brien thinks it's okay to just have quitters on your team. Like, they're quitters. They are quitters. There are guys on that offensive line who are flat-out quitters, and you're allowing them to play football for you. I miss Bruno Giacomini. Bruno Giacomini, at least he didn't quit. Like, at least, you know what? Bruno Giacomini was awful, but he wasn't a quitter. There are guys on that offensive line now who are quitters, and you're allowing it to happen.
Giacomini would go after the play to give a guy an elbow in the back of the neck.
And then he was awful. Don't worry. I'm not asking for Bruno Giacomini to come back. But at least I wouldn't have to worry about him quitting.
I just tweeted that you missed him. Is that okay? Should I delete it?
Go ahead. It's valid.
I think it's valid.
He wasn't a quitter. Yeah.